Amen. Good morning. I have. Woo! I'm super stoked to get to preach to you guys today. Every year we come together and we are somber on Good Friday. We celebrate Easter, the resurrection, on Sunday. And then the week after that, we did baptisms. And then the week after that, what we like to do is we open up the church to we have a ministry fair, which is what we got going on today. And we just open up our church for those that have, you know, come along with us that are new. And, you know, because we know that when you get plugged in, you will begin to grow. A church is a community of people that are flawed, that love Jesus Christ and are committed to learning his word and growing in his word. That's who we are here. So we open this up because there's a lot of things to get connected to. Connection is where you're going to find community. So I just felt like the Lord wanted me to preach a pretty simple message today. And it'll just remind us that are, you know, well, it's going to remind all of us who we are and who he is. So I'm going to talk about four things today. God saves, God justifies, God sanctifies, and God equips. Amen? So let's start with God saves. And I'm going to use the oldie but the goodie, John 3:16 and 17, though. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is a powerful scripture, and so many people know this, but don't understand it. So what are to be saved? What are we being saved from? Are we being saved from something? Are we being saved from ourselves? What are we being saved from? And the truth is we're being saved for an angry God. So let me, we have to go all the way back to the garden to figure this one out. Because we'll answer the question, what's wrong with me and what's wrong with the world? Well, this is what's wrong. God created the world and then he created man and he put man in the garden and he gave that man a command. And he held that man to perfect obedience to that command. And he said, I promise you life if you keep it and death if you don't. Well, he didn't. Adam and Eve fell. They ate. And because of that, sin entered. They were eternal beings walking with God. They were human. They were earthly. But they were perfect. Almost. Right? They weren't God. They weren't perfect like God. But man, they were in his image. The likeness. Well, they fell. And because of that, sin entered their bodies. And through that, every generation, through ordinary generation, through baby making, sin and the sin nature is passed down. The sin nature is passed down. And what proceeds out of that sin nature is sin. That's what's wrong with you and I. And here's the thing. People say, why would a good God send people to hell? Why would a good God, a loving God, send people to hell? But that's the wrong question. You see, people that ask that question don't have the right perspective on truth. And what the truth is because that sin nature is passed down to you and I, that automatically causes us to be an enemy of God. We are drawn, we have a bend. It's not our fault, but it is our responsibility, to acknowledge the call. Sin is passed down over generation, over generation, and over generation. Therefore, all are guilty. There's a thing called total depravity. Without Christ, you and I have a bend, and that bend is pride. You see, we were, and that's why Satan fell, by the way. He was a beautiful worship leader of heaven, but he wanted to be worshiped. Do you see the temptation? Being God-like, being like God, God's creation. We are God's creation, made in the likeness of his image. We are bent to think we got, this is my life, my choices. I get to say what's right and what's wrong. These are my truths. You ever heard that? This is my truth. Yeah. There's my truth, your truth, and the truth. That's the pride of man. So you could say, oh, my grandmama's the sweetest, kindest old lady. Like, she never did nothing to nobody. I get it. So compared to me, she's a saint. But you don't compare one human to another. You must compare yourself to the standard. And the standard is Jesus Christ. The standard is the Word of God. That's who we compare our lives to. Therefore, amen. Apolomai is a Greek word used for perish. And it means this, to violently take a life. That whoever believes in him should not die by violence, but have eternal life. It's one definition, and there's other definitions, but it's a serious thing, hell, separation from God. One that people don't like to talk about or preach about. But hell is a very real thing, and everybody that does not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will ultimately be there. But God's not sending people to hell. The question is why God? Here's the question that needs to be asked. Why would a good, holy, righteous, perfect, loving God save a bunch of people that don't care about him? Save a bunch of people that just want to do their own life. He's our creator. He gave us the very life that we want to own. That's the sin. That's the satanic disease that pulls. It's the reason why you still want that thing that you know ain't good for you. It's the very, very thing that you want to watch that. If I just watch it, it'll make me feel good. It's the bend. So, Paul is writing to the Roman church in Romans chapter 2, and he says this. Well, first of all, before I go there, let me say this, because I need to be really clear. Salvation is free. Salvation is a surrender, okay? If you needed to fully understand the crucifixion and the resurrection, you and I would be screwed. Here's the thing. I've been studying a lot, and I really understand the crucifixion and the resurrection better than I ever have. But if I really, really, really understood it like God does, I would quit my job and I'd be out evangelizing 24 hours a day. I would. I have not fully grasped the levity of it. But that's okay. God doesn't expect, don't get offended, dumb humans to understand something of that magnitude. What he's asking for us is surrender, prideful human. Surrender. God, help me. Save me. Save me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on, but I know I'm not God, and I know that you are. With what little that I even know about you, you've placed this in me to even pray this prayer. For me to even acknowledge you was your work in my heart. So save me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Jesus, I don't fully understand what you did, but I understand that you did. You did. Romans chapter 2. He will render to each one according to his works, to those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. He will give eternal life. Let me stop right there. The Greek word for render is apodidomai. And it's to pay or to pay back, to fulfill or to reward. So let me read that again. He will reward. He will pay to each one according to their works. So there is reward. There is something beyond salvation to look forward to. Rewards in Christ are nothing like the cool things here on earth. They're way better. They're eternal. They're supernatural. They're relational. They're anointed. The Jesus said that the gate was narrow, but he also said that the way was narrow. And let me be clear again, works is only evidence, okay? What you do for Jesus does not justify your salvation. There's nothing you can or can't do to be saved. There's nothing you can earn in salvation. What I just told you about surrender is laying down your life. Literally. And the result, the fruits are the works. I think it was James that said, I will show you my faith by my works. I'll show you how much I believe in Jesus by the things that I do, by the things that I say, by how I live, by how I love, by how I pray, what I watch. It's a small letter. It might be verse something else, or eight. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There it is again. There's the end. There's the other side. Self-seeking. Self. I don't believe, I don't want to say this. Be careful. Be careful. This world is telling you that you need stuff. And stuff is not bad in and of itself. Hey, have a good time. Live life. You know, love, enjoy. God put us here to enjoy earth together. But if you're spending all your time worrying about what kind of house you have, what kind of car you have, what kind of, you know, this, that, and you know, all the finite, natural, and some of it's good. Some of you do need to pay attention to raising your kids, paying your bills. Yeah, you need to be responsible. But if you think that's what life is all about, friend, you are missing it. Because life is not about grinding it out Monday through Friday. Life is about worshiping God. It's about worshiping God in our jobs, in our marriages, in our friendships, in our adversities, and the people that we don't like. Don't get caught up. This world is passing away and everything in it. God gives you things, people, and things to steward over. And he puts them in our hands. And the best that we can do is, God, make me a good steward over my family. Make me a good steward over my church. Make me a good steward over my friends and neighbors. And if you decide to take one of these away, they're all yours anyway. They're all yours. I hold my hands open, God. And if you take something that I don't like, I'm going to weep. I'm going to cry. I'm going to mourn. But I trust you. I trust you, eternal God. You're not mean. And you know how much I love them. Save them, Jesus. Get them, Jesus. Get them, Jesus. So, we understand that all are guilty. We all need a perfect Savior. And that's what God did for us. Matthew 10 says, whoever loves his father or mother, and this is another angle that we need to take in salvation, right? Walking with God. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is Jesus giving hard truths to his people, not because he's like codependent, needs you to love him more than your kids because he's like we are. No. This is the God of the universe seeing eternally going, look, I got you. I got you. I created your mom and dad. I created your children. That's my business with them. What can I do then, Lord? How can I be a part of you getting them? How can I be a blessing to it and not a curse? Amen? Amen. Love them. Thus saith the Lord, you keep seeking me. You keep letting my word change you. And all you got to do is go out to dinner. All you got to do is go to Christmas, Thanksgiving. All you got to do is show up to a birthday. And because the anointing and the love, and just be there. Just love them. Don't tell them they're going to hell. You know what I mean? Just love them. You know, don't question their salvation. Just love them. And if they ask, give them truth. Don't back down. Don't ever deny Christ. Hey, I come here in the name of the Lord. They should know that, by the way. The rest of that says, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This is another truth. He's saying you can't have both. In order to find me, Jesus says, you have to lay down what happened in the garden. You have to lay down the life that Adam decided to take on his own. We have to trade my Adamic life for my new resurrected life in Christ. I lay one down, I get the other. Your cross is everything that God has already ordained, by the way. Everything in your life was already counted and ordained. God doesn't do things to us. He doesn't kill the ones that we love. He does allow for humanity to flow out the will, his will. And he's good and sovereign through it all. So we not need be so worried about, well, how can I do this? Because we can't do nothing. He does it. But he does it through love. He does it by moving on hearts, by, you know, like when we did that outreach and that pimp was like, why are you guys so nice? Dude's dead in his sin. He's on fentanyl running girls. God's like, hey, SA. I love you. Start working on you. I don't know where that guy's going to go, but I know God did something in that man. Next one, God justifies. I better hurry up. Romans 3, again, we're in Romans. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So what exactly did happen on the cross? What exactly did? Why are we justified? How do I know that I'm justified? A sinner, a satanic idol worshiping pagan that said yes to Jesus, that surrendered his life, laid it down and picked it up. What does that mean for us? And it's this. When God, in his sovereignty, and he had this plan, by the way, before he even put Adam and Eve in the garden. The plan of salvation was intact. He spoke a word into a virgin named Mary. Why is the virgin birth important? Because his DNA is different than ours. He's human because Mary had him, but he's God. He's got God's DNA. Just like you've got your dad's DNA and your mom's DNA, so does he. That makes him fully God and fully man. So he was born of a virgin. God spoke his word. Jesus is the word into Mary. She had him and he grew up and he lived a sinless life. He never sinned against God or anybody else in thought, word, or deed. Try that. Try doing that. It's impossible. You have to be God. But, okay, so how do I know, Pastor Chris? Well, let me tell you. He lived a sinless life. So when he was beaten and humiliated and spit on and slapped and laughed at and just, he was crucified. And what happened on that cross was why he was bleeding in the garden. You see, Jesus wasn't tripping and sweating blood because he was going to get whipped by some humans. Trust me, that hurt. That was bad. But what he was tripping on was the wrath of the Father that he was about to eat for me and you. That was ours, by the way. That was for the porn that I watched and the lies that I told and the drugs that I shot and the women that I used and the people that I hurt. All the things that I did, Jesus. And all the things you did. Perfect. Son of God was crucified on the cross and the Father saw him and he said, cause for us, this is the perfect one. You know, all through the Old Testament, people were killing lambs and goats. And you know what? If I killed one of those things on stage, you guys would be tripping. Some of you would leave. But that's the way of God. It's been that way. That's how bad sin is. Blood must be shed. Gnarly, right? Yeah. Truth. Truth. Not a fantasy, not an idea. Truth. When God poured out his wrath on Jesus, God accepted our sacrifice. And he said, I accept. And I'm going to prove it. Because on the third day, so he's really, really, really dead. On the third day, he will rise. And Jesus said, I take my life up. Hey guys, look at the holes in my hands. There's only one person that's done this, and it's me. And he walked around for 40 days and showed everybody. 40 days. When Jesus was on the cross, my and your sin-filled, sin-tainted life was traded He took mine and I died with him and he gave me his. When he resurrected, now all it takes is for you and I to believe at whatever level, a mustard seed of faith, that that's true. Jesus, you paid the price for my sins. You're the one that lets me enter into the holy place with God. It's not me. It's not what I can do. It's what you did. And I believe it, God. I believe that Jesus, the perfect one, paid for me. So now I'm justified. I'm still a sinner. Be careful with this one. I'm still a sinner, but my heart, you see the change? I'm still a sinner. I still have a bend. There's a flesh man that wants to do his own thing. But the Holy Spirit inside of me, God of the universe, has begun to change my heart. Well, how does that happen? I read his word. If you hear me now. Reading your Bible is not a religious chore, even though I know I've been there. It seems like it. It is literally your identity. And if you don't understand, you have a hard time reading, I want you to pray and ask God, God, I need you to change my heart. I need you to make your word come alive to me, because Pastor Chris said that it's your word that changes me. Like, I'm tired of living the life that I'm living. I'm tired of doing what I'm doing, and I keep doing it. Change my heart. He will. It may take years. It may take decades. I was thinking about this in between services. I haven't watched porn in years, but man, I'll tell you what. I've been saved for 18 years, and I think I watched porn for 15 of my, what, you know? I'm just being honest. I did. I mean, I struggled. I back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But you know what I was lacking? I had zeal. I had love for Christ. But my knowledge of the word, I didn't truly start getting delivered from many things that were tough until I really started to dig and trust and hear. And you know what? One day it wasn't valuable to me anymore. That's what happens. You have to go, ew, I don't like this. As long as you go, there's some value to this, you're going to do it. Whatever it is. I use porn because I can hit most of you. But it could be anger. It could be unbelief. It could be resentments. Lots of Christians hold resentments. It's trippy. That'll be a blocker to you. That'll bring forth sickness and death in your life, and you will speak to people like that. You need to be healed of that. Salvation means deliverance. Salvation means healing. So we're justified. You get to go into the holiest of holies because of your King. Never forget that. It's not what you do or don't do. It's what he did that justifies you. Now you have, because of the justification, you have room to grow in Christ. You're his. If you submit and surrender and you say, Jesus, save me, be my Lord, he will process you. You will be in process. And I truly believe this from my own experience. Because I said the prayer, right? But I meant it, man. I didn't just say some prayer. I was like, Jesus, save me, please, you know? Because I needed it. I was in a rehab in Northern California. And I knew I needed something. And a guy offered me to pray. And you need Jesus, man. And I said it. And I received him, man, and my life went off the rails. I ended up making meth. I ended up cooking meth. I ended up shooting more speed than I, and that is so demonic. I wasn't born again yet, But God had me. Do you understand? I'm not trying to make up things or anything. But a born again relationship is when I am born again. I understand I'm forgiven. I understand enough. That's why when we do outreaches, I'm so emphatic on surrender. Other people would argue with me. Unless you see the fruit, they're not saved. Okay, but my testimony's a weird one then. I got radically saved like, I don't know, 10 years after that. You know, radically transformed, whatever you want to call it. But I know that prayer worked. I know because he came and visited me he did. It was real and nobody can tell me otherwise. So therefore, I know he's sovereign. And you know what? Let's talk about predestination. What? Before the foundation of the world, your name and my name came across and he said, yes, they're mine. They are mine. I will not lose one of mine. That should give us all security. Let me hurry up. God sanctifies. 1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. So if you ever were wondering, what is God's will for me? God, what is your will for me? What do you want to do with me? He wants to sanctify you. That's what he wants to do to us. Prepare us to meet him. And by the way, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the faithful one of ours that will get us home. He sanctifies us, meaning he takes his word and he gives us ears to hear. And the more that we begin to understand and obey, I don't just read the word, but I read it, I meditate on it, and then I do my very, very best to live it out. And the living it out part is the sanctification. Because we don't live it out 100%, right? Like I said, we're still sinners. But we know now that we have a Redeemer that goes before us and has made a way to repent. God, I can have a relationship with you today, even though I sin, because your Son Jesus is my King, and he sent his Holy Spirit to confirm that in me. So I don't need to be scared, worried, nothing. I will repent before you. I will be humble and reverent, but I am boldly coming to you, Daddy. I'm boldly coming because you're the only one that matters. You're the only one that can. You're the only one that has it all. You're the only one that I know has the answer. Because I don't. But I know the one who does. I love this. He finishes that statement, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, : that you abstain from sexual immorality. I wonder why he would use this. Well, it's one of the sins that we do against ourselves and others. It's one of the sins that is secretive. It's one of the ones we don't go, hey, let me share with you about my sexual, you know, exhibits, whatever. My kink. Here, let me share. No, we don't do that, do we? We keep it dark and hidden. I want this church to be a place so safe and understanding and real, committed to being honest and transparent and committed to the word and lining our lives up with the word instead of trying to make the word fit our lives so we can do what the Pharisees did. No, we'll be committed to just staying the course and dying to self and growing. That's what I love about this church. And it's the people here. He uses us. In fact, the people that you dislike the most in this community, God is using to hook you up. The ones that bug you the most, you spot it, you got it, baby. Kind of thing. God wants you to learn how to love them and stay in community and fellowship during it. One of the things about marriage is sanctification. Is learning how to love another human right and good and holy like God intended it. But it's the same with each other. We're supposed to love God and each other. That's what life is all about. It's to worship God. Love Him, love each other. The work, the stuff, the vacations, the this, the that, everything. It's all minutia that goes along with it. Again, enjoy life, enjoy this planet, enjoy, but to the glory of God, to the glory of God. That here's verse 4, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who don't know God. It's just saying here that look, with salvation does come grace. Oh yes, thank you God for the grace. But don't ever mistake that for an excuse to be okay with it. Don't let yourself, because it'll be a temptation. Like I said, 10, 15 years, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. If you're stuck on something, I'll tell you, it's because you don't understand God in it. You don't understand where He is with that particular sin yet. Get with His word. Get into the Bible studies. You know, one of the things about Connection Sunday is all of our ministries are open to you. And if you're not connected in this community, I pray today's the day. Because it's community. It's running alongside. It's doing life together. That sanctifies it. And the sanctification is merely just preparing us to meet Him. Preparing us to be more like Him. And really, that, whether you know it or not, is your desire. You truly, it is our heart to receive and give love. To feel a part of. It's in our nature. God built us this way. So why not be around a bunch of people like you, just as jacked up as you are? And we're honest about it. Ooh, I gotta end. Okay, so the last thing he does is he equips. That's what our little ministry fair is today. Let's read Ephesians. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. I'm just going to stop there. He's given our church people that have gone before and learned the word and know the word. Yes, they're sinners. Yes, they've got flaws, but they ain't like they used to be, and they ain't as good as they gonna be, right? Like I'm so blessed that I'm not the way I used to be. I'm so blessed that God didn't leave me the way I was, but I know I'm not where I'm gonna be. Amen. That's what we do here together, and we're committed. We're committed to stay honest and true as best as we can, right? But we are committed to the standard, which is the word, the truth of God. That holds the plumb line in this church and in our lives. And that is what sets us on course to receive the grace and to repent of those things that break his heart. And if you don't know, say, God, every morning, God, search my heart. Search my heart, oh God, and reveal anything that displeases you. Reveal. And if God, if I know that I'm in sin and I'm doing, God, help me. Help me break away from that, because I know that it's not your best and I want your best. Help me. And he will. You're meant. I see prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers in the audience. You see, you might not even know it yet. And you might. You know you have a call. And if you don't know you have a call, I'm telling you, you're called. And see, your preaching might be just leaning over the cubicle and prophesying over your coworker going, hey, your marriage is going to be okay. Let's pray. Hey, I heard you're struggling. I got a little bit of extra dough here. That preaches. That preaches. I want to encourage you. And this is why one of our ministries is grab and give. Well, why do we do that? Because, well, one, God told us to. But the other thing is because we want to be givers. You see, we give when we're happy and we give when we're sad. We give when we're mad and we give when we're frustrated. We give when we're poor and we give when we're killing it. We give. So we have a bunch of bags, you know, for you to take. If this is your first time here, we have snack bags to take. I want you to take as many as you want. And I want you throughout the week to bless people with it. And it's as simple as this. Here's some good food. God bless you. Hang in there. I love you and God loves you. I mean, if that's all you do, man, you just made the world a better place. If God opens up more to pray with them and whatever, I mean, who knows? Sister Ida took somebody to detox this weekend. Woo! Praise God. That's what I'm talking about, though. A better world. Hey, we're out here, guys. We love Jesus. We look like you, and we've lived like you. We understand. We are the same. But I have God, and I'm here to tell you, he loves you. That's how we make the world a better place. Amen? Let me pray over you guys so I can release you. And please, go sign up for something. Be a part of our beautiful community. Father God, thank you for these beautiful people. Thank you for your word today, God. And thank you for your salvation through our King Jesus Christ, your son. Holy Spirit, I pray your highest and best over your church, that you would empower us to be generous this week, to understand, Holy Spirit, remind us how truly wealthy we are, because we don't own anything, God. Therefore, we have everything. It's all yours, God. Everything is yours. Use us to bless, to build, and even convict, but let it all be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. You're released.